You remember Sunday night? I know you do. Yes, Sunday night we were talking about Abigail was taking on the iniquities of Nabal. And if you think about Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe it is, Titus chapter 3, where it says, we also were sometimes foolish. Talking about Nabal being the fool, deceived, falling after diverse lusts and pleasures, hate, envy, and hateful, and hating one another. We, Nabal right there, represents just what we used to be. And that came to me as soon as I walked out the door and said, man, why didn't I think of that then? Just like Nabal. We needed an intercessor because we were too foolish and hateful and hating and everything. We were just like Nabal and Abigail, but not Abigail. Christ stepped right in front of that thing for us. And it just came to me while I was resting, so, you know. That's just a type, but it's a serious type. When we see ourselves just as we are, makes a world of humility out of you. Genesis 43. And we know that the boys went back in 42 and Simeon didn't go back, and the famine is still going on and on and on. And the last time Joseph saw Benjamin was when he was about 10 years old or so. Now he's been here 22 years, so Benjamin's about 32 years old, because he was 17 when he got there. He stayed in jail for so many, and now the famine's been, the good years went 7 years, and then two bad years now, the bad years, so that's 9 more years. So Joseph's getting on up there to about 39 years old or so right now. He's not no young puppy. Well, according to nowadays times. Now, back then, he lived to be about, 120-something years old? So he was a third of the way there. But anyways. And the famine was sore in the land. In other words, it ain't getting no better. It's getting continually worser. That's my word. Worser. As things went on. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. In other words, because they already knew that Joseph did not want to take Benjamin back, because he'd already pretty well pointed out and said, you're the one that done something to Joseph, and Jacob didn't want him to take Benjamin back, let me get it straight. And so the food is just about going, and they said, we're not going to argue with him because he is dead set against Benjamin leaving this place. We might well get ready to starve to death because he's not going to let Benjamin go. But Jacob sits here for a while, and he sits here and he understands, if we don't do something, we're going to starve. And in the last chapter, the last verse of this chapter, he talks about, if I be bereaved of my children, not that he thought it was their fault, but the fact is, if God in his sovereignty takes two or three of my kids away to get the rest of us healthy, then let God be God and let God do what he's going to do. But it says here, the corn was gone. The corn was just about totally eaten up. And he says, go buy a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. In other words, Pop, Jacob, Daddy, I know you don't want Benjamin to go, but we could take all the money we got, and we could go to see this man, but if we don't bring Benjamin, we're going to make a trip up there, and we're going to make a trip back. And we're not going to be a bit better. In fact, we'll be worse off, because whatever we did to go and come is going to get eat up and used up. He says, the man did solemnly swear. The man says, I will not let you have anything unless you bring your brother. If thou wilt send our brother, now this is Judah talking to Jacob, he says, if thou wilt send my brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. In other words, if you let him go, we'll leave right now. I mean, we're ready. We've been waiting on you to say, yeah. If you'll let Benjamin load up, we're out of here. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, we shall not see his face except your brother be with you. In other words, if he's coming, we're out of here. No problem. But I'm telling you, Dad, Jacob, he done told us, don't make a run trip. Don't make one without Benjamin. Don't come without your brother. Don't do it, because I already got one of you locked up. I already want to accuse you of being spies. I already want to nail you for what you supposedly are making you think you are. If you don't bring Benjamin, you're making a trip for the wrong reasons. And Israel, uh-oh. He was Jacob a while ago, now he's Israel. Israel. The head of the Hebrews, the head of the family. Wherefore dealt you so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had a brother? In other words, when he was quizzing you and talking to you, you didn't have enough, little bit of sense to say, I'm not answering any personal questions that I don't need to answer. I'm just going to stick to the yay and nays and things like that. Because when he asked you, do you have anybody left in your family? And you just, yeah, by the way, we got another brother and we got a dad back home. And they were just so glad to let it all fly off. And we even got one that's dead. But we got, there was 12 of us, there were 11 of us. Yeah, we got a younger brother home. And he's saying, why couldn't you just keep your big mouth shut? Why did you have to tell him there's Benjamin at the house? Why did you have to tell him that I was still at the house too? You could have just stuck to you who you were, kept it to yourself. We just be 10 guys here looking for corn. But no. He said, why did you deal so ill with me by blabbering at the mouth? We could learn sometimes maybe there's some things we just need to keep to ourselves when we're going to do business. We don't need to get, we don't have to lie, we don't cheat, but we don't have to tell them everything we know neither. There's some things we can just keep back. Now, I ain't saying he did right or wrong here, but there's sometimes you just don't got to spill all your beans. Keep it to yourself. If you can. If you can't, make sure you tell the truth. Number 7. And they said, the man asked us straightly of our state. In other words, Joseph knew who they were. Joseph knew what questions to ask. He didn't just all ask them all at once either. He sort of covertly snuck them in there here and there when they wasn't on guard. He said, the man asked us straightly. In other words, he looked us in the eyeball and said, of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? And then most of us, if we weren't thinking or wasn't, yeah, Dad's back at the house. Yeah, he's okay. Is your father yet alive? And boy, he's blabbering. Yeah, he's doing great back at the house. Have you another brother? He's checking them out to see if they've got any scruples since the last time he's seen them. See if there's any honesty in them since the last time. Have you any other brothers? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. In other words, he asked us plainly, how's Dad? And we just said, man, he's back at the house doing fabulous. You ought to see the old boy. And, oh, by the way, do you have any other brothers? Well, yeah, we got this younger brother. He's a little bit younger than us. He's back there taking care of Pop. He's okay. Yeah, we got all that. According to his tenor, he was asking the questions in a cordial, inquisitive kind of way, as some folks would do. And we told him, according to the tenor of his words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? In other words, who in the world would say, I want to see your brother before I feed you any more corn? Why would I think that he would even say anything like that? We told him about you. We told him about Benjamin. We told him about all our children. And he says to us plainly, if you want to buy any more corn, you're going to bring your brother. You're going to bring your brother. How could we even know he would say something like that? They're trying to get straight with Israel, saying, look, Dad, there is no way in the world we could have figured he would ask a question like that and made a demand that serious. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad. And of course, lad, now he's 30, right at 30 years old, he's still considered a lad. So back when we were talking about Isaac and talking about him being a lad, he could have been up as much as 20, 25 years old, which means he could have definitely overdone Abraham. Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. In other words, you're worried about losing Benjamin. But if we don't go, not only are we going to lose Benjamin, we're going to lose us, we're going to lose our children, and you're going to die also. In other words, Dad, I understand that you love Benjamin with all you got, but you're going to lose everything you got if you don't let him go. You're going to lose it all if Benjamin don't get to go with us. Now, on the other hand, Dad, if he goes with us, it's a good possibility we'll come back with loads of corn and food and stuff again. He says, Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we, thou, and also our little ones. I will be a surety for him. In other words, Judah says, and that can't be a lot comforting, because you're still going to lose one family member for another family member, as we discussed the other night. But he says, I will be a surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. In other words, if I don't get him back, you ain't got to blame nobody else. I'm it. I'll be totally responsible. Totally the one you can point the finger at or do damage to or whatever. I will be a surety. In other words, if he don't come back, I'll give you me. I'll do whatever you need done forever. Up into death there. He says, I'll be a surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require it. That's the same thing that Jesus was for us. He was our surety. Of his hand did he require it, and he paid fully for what he got. He was our surety. Judah here is going to be Benjamin's surety. There's so many places here where we can see little stuff in this thing. Surety. Let me bear the blame forever. And he did. Well, on the cross he did. He paid for our sins. He paid for our debts. For except we have lingered, surely now we have returned this certain time. In other words, if you'd have let him go months ago or weeks ago, we'd already be back with the food. But because you've been holding back, the food's been steady dwindling down, and now we're in dire straits. If we don't do something soon, we're all going to go. We're all going to die. Says, except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so now, do this. He was reluctant, but he understands, we've got to do something or we all die. If it means I may lose another son, so be it, but we can't all perish. We've got to try our best to live on. We've got to do what's necessary to live on. It says, if it be so. Do this. Take of the best fruit in the land your vessel, and carry down the man a present, a balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Now we're in a drought. You say, where do you get all that from? But undoubtedly, Canaan was a land that had supposedly the land of milk and honey. So somewhere along in there, they had stored up some honey. Somewhere in there they stored up some nuts. Somewhere in there they stored up some myrrh. So he says, to make this man a little bit more receptive. If you want me to be a little bit more receptive, you bring me a gift. If you want Pharaoh's second in command to be a little bit nicer to you, a little bit sweeter to you, possibly a little more generous to you, you bring him a gift. You make him look like he's important, feels good. He says, let's bring the man a present. Carry a little balm down, a little bit of honey down, some spices, some myrrh, some nuts, some almonds. When you go into his presence, before you can even, he can even ask you about the money or anything else, you say, Mr. Governor, we've brought you some gifts. And from the looks of it, almost each one of them men could have carried a gift apiece. So when they were in his presence, all nine of them, they almost had a gift apiece to bring in there and say, we have brought you some gifts. We want you to understand we appreciate you. We want you to understand we need to do business with you. We want to butter up the pot maybe, but we want you to understand we got you a gift. He said, bring some balm, bring some nuts, bring some spices, bring some myrrh, bring some almonds, and take double money in your hand. Now, it seems like maybe the price of corn is going up as the drought goes on. Because first money bought what they got, but he says, we need to make sure we can get what we got and maybe some more. You need to bring double money. So whatever you thought the price was, bring that twice. And he's going to say in here, not only that, but bring double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack. So he's got actually three times the money. He's got the original money and then twice as much as that money again. So they got three times the money they're left with, just in case they have to tell him, oh, the money, we didn't steal it. We didn't try to trick you out of it, but somehow it's in our sacks and we want to make sure you don't accuse us of slander or whatever. Here's the money we should have paid you to begin with. And oh, by the way, we've got double for what we need. So that way you can't accuse us of being thieves and robbers. We didn't try to trick you out of this money. In fact, we didn't even realize the money was there till we got halfway to the house. He says, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack, carry it again in your hand. In other words, when the man comes to you, don't have to dig around your wallet. Don't look around in a sack for your money. Have your money ready to hand him right then and there. Don't make him have to even ask you for it. As he's walking up, you'll be getting the money out. That way he can see you're not trying to wait for him. Well, y'all stole it. Oh, no. We got the money. Look, it's in the sack right here. No. As soon as he's walking up, you got the money out. That way you can say, look, partner, we wasn't trying to cheat you. We wasn't trying to slip a good one on you. We meant to pay you. I don't know how it got back in our sack, but here it is. We don't even want you to have to ask for it. If you got to ask for it, you're already pushing it. Before the man can even ask, you get it out. Boy, if my people owed me money was like that, I'd be in good shape. Just walk up and... But anyways, that's the way this went. Double money in your sack, and peradventure, it was an oversight. In other words, peradventure, some people might do things, and you got to watch them. They're making the deal with you to buy something. They lay the money on the table, and while you're writing out receipts and like this, and while you're busy talking with other folks, you think you put the money, you think you placed it in the register, you think you did something, but when you do the tally up later, you figure out that money was on the table, but when I did the tally, I distinctly thought I laid it on the table, but I never remember putting it in the register. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother. That probably knocked her socks off, huh? Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. In other words, you make sure you got all the money. You make sure you hand it to him first thing you see him, and you bring Benjamin because that was his demand. You make sure Benjamin is right there with you when the man sees you. Make sure you bring your brother. Go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man. See, it's God Almighty who touches the hearts of kings. I know there's some folks don't believe that. That's God Almighty. It also touches the heart of Jacob to make him decide to give Benjamin. Because he was probably sitting there, no, 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 no. And as this conversation is going on, God says, Jacob, hello, you really need to do this, partner, because if you don't, you're all going to die. And so peradventure, or providence of God, Jacob moves towards giving Benjamin, which he was adamant against. It's also God that gives mercy with Pharaoh for the brothers. So it says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother, other brother, and Benjamin, and if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. In other words, it's all in the providence of God. If I send Benjamin and God lets him come back, that's God's business. If I send Benjamin and let Simeon come back, that's God's business. But if he lets them both come back, that's God's business. But if by chance he decides to keep them, it's still God's business. So Jacob finally come to the place, God's in control of this whole thing. I can sit here and cry and whine and everything else, but the only way the rest of these kids and families going to live is Benjamin's got to go. There's no getting around it. There's no substitute. There's no person who can dress up and look like Benjamin. Only Benjamin can be Benjamin. And believe it or not, Joseph would have knew if it was, hey, we're going to bring old Jack over here and put him in the... No, he would have knew better. That would not have done well. So Benjamin had to go. And he says, if I am bereaved of my children, then I'm bereaved. Like Job would have said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And the man took the present. They must have just got there. The man took the present, and they took double money. The men took the present and took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. So here they come, and Joseph's sitting here. I know them old boys. I could see them coming. I could tell they walked from a mile away. Yep, I know them old boys. And they stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay. That kind of scares you right there if you're thinking about it. Bring these men home and slay. Like, hey, just take them to the house and kill them all. But no, that's not what he meant at all. He said, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. That shows they're going to have a big lunch at noontime. So Joseph takes care of his business at the cornery, taking care of the corn, dishing out the corn, and his number one servant grabs the boys and takes them toward the house. Now you know good and well they're sitting there. People just don't get invited to the governor's house. You don't just walk up as a stranger and get invited to the governor's house. This, we in trouble. I mean, there ain't no way we're getting away with anything. He's going to kill us here as sure as I'll get out. He's going to bring us up there to that house. He's going to feed us one last meal, and boom, we're out of here. That's what their thoughts were. I mean, he's going to do something to us. Nobody gets invited to the governor's house. How many of us get invited to the governor's house? I mean, we went up there and said, I got a present for you. Come on to the house, let's eat. And that ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. He says, and they brought the men, and they slayed and made ready. And these men shall dine with us at noon, which means most people eat around noontime most of the time. Maybe a good idea. And the man did as Joseph bade. In other words, this servant of his didn't question, didn't ask, well, you sure you want these guys to go eat with us? Master, you know they're Hebrews. They're shepherds. You know, you want us to go kill an ox or a sheep or a goat to feed those guys? You know you're the second in command of Egypt? He didn't say any of those things. He says he went and did exactly what he was bade to go do. And he brought the men to Joseph's house. He didn't beat around the bush. He went straight to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid. I'd have been afraid. Look, I could have figured we were at the marketplace, we buy and sell and trade for this here corn, make our little deal, we turn around, we out of here. But no, he says, I want y'all to go up to the house and eat with me. You got one brother in jail. You made us bring our other brother, and now we're scared of what you might be going to do. He brought these men home, and he made food ready, and he says, and the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought them to Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. Any one of us, if we went to the capital, we wouldn't necessarily be shaking in our boots, but we'd be very on our edge how to act, what to say, what to do if we were in the presence of a president. Now, this is almost the president. This is second in command of Egypt. And so they're very afraid. And said, because of the money, they didn't waste no time. They said, look, dude, let me tell you something here. Now, I know you bring me up to the house. Before we get too far along, we need to tell you something. We need to let you know something. He says, and they said, because of the money that was returned in our sack at the first time, all we brought in, we're going to get punished because we stole the money and the corn. Says we're in here, we're going up here so he could reprimand us, so he could get on to us because of the money that was returned in our sacks. He's brought us up in here that he may seek occasion against us. We know that the money shouldn't have been in our sack. We could have turned right back around right then and there, but instead we went on to the house. We went ahead and ate all the food. Yeah, we're bringing the money back, but we could have turned around then and went back. He says, the man's going to find an occasion against us. The man would like to accuse us of being spies. The man would like to do something to us. He's already got one of us in jail. He wants to find a case and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. In other words, he'd like to take our donkeys. He'd like to take us, make slaves out of us. He's got us over the barrel. I mean, what are we going to say to him? I mean, he's got us. We left with the money. We didn't give it back. Here it is now. He's seeking an occasion. And they came near to the steward of Joseph. And they communed with him at the door of the house. We know that there were some other folks that communed with Herod's servant to try to get a better deal. And then they accused Herod of speaking as a god. And then Herod accepted it and the worms eat him up. But that's a whole nother story there. But anyways, I was just thinking, the servant, they wanted to commune with us. What better way to get close to the master if you don't get a friend who's walking in and out, who could go in and say, well, master, these guys are really not that bad. Master, these guys have a story they need. Before you fly off the handle and do something bad to them, they really want to tell you something. They got something they really didn't mean. What happened? That's why they were getting close to the servant. And said, oh, sir, can we indeed go down at the first... We came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came into the inn that we opened our sacks. And it seemed like at the first story it says one of them opened the sack and the rest of them just kept on going. But it seems like they opened their sacks. And behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack. Our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. In other words, look, we got almost to the house. I mean, we was even farther than almost to the house. We was almost there. And we decided to feed the animals. We took some of the corn down to take care of, and when we opened up the sack, all our money, not just some of our money, all our money was in our sacks. Sir, we didn't know that. We just thought we had the corn and we had paid you and took care of this, and now it seems like somehow the money got back in our sacks, and we want you to know right off the bat, we have brought the money back. We want to make sure that you understand. We didn't try to steal it. We didn't try to sugar booger you. We want you to have your money back. And other money have we brought down our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our safe. In other words, we don't know who put it in there. All we can do is tell you for a fact we know it was there. We don't know how it got there. We just know it was there. And he said, "Peace be to you." This is the servant talking to him. "Peace be to you. Y'all are getting all frazzled, all been out of shape, all worked up. Peace be. You're coming to eat at the man's house. You're coming to get food and treated comfortably and peaceably and mercifully." He says, "Peace be unto you. Fear not. Your God." Not his God necessarily, but your God. "Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasures in your sack." In other words, he says, God fixed it where that money got back in your sack. Same way when we end up this end chapter where God meant it for good and you meant it for you. God made sure your money got back in your sack. Yeah, I know a man did it. I know a man put it there, but it was God that worked it out and made it go that way. He says, "God of your fathers hath given you treasures in your sack." How often do we look in our sack and we don't realize God has given us treasures in our sacks? It may not be our money in full, but we've got treasures in our sacks. We get them every day. That when we look in there, it ain't somebody else gave us that treasure. It's God who gave us that treasure. We may work for men, but it's God that does the increase. He says, God put treasures in your sacks, and then he says, "I had your money." I can tell you who put it in there. I had your money. I put it in your sack. I know exactly what happened. Now, I'm not going to give you full details, but I know my master said put the money in the sack. I put it in the sack. That's how it got there. I know it. You ain't got to wonder who did it, how it got happened. I'm telling you point blank, I put the money in the sack. And I'm telling you right now, don't fear. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get treated right. Peace be unto you. I know all the story. I know everything that happened. Y'all are sitting here getting all worked up. But behind the scenes, I know what's happening. I know what's going on the most part. He says here, "I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. In other words, while Joseph was out doing some other things, the servant already knew that when you take these boys to the house, you send somebody else to the jail if you ain't already got him out, and you have Simeon somewhere there in the house. And while they're sitting there shaking in their boots, worried up and down what's going on, the servant says, "And here, by the way, is your other brother, Simeon." What a happy time, right? He's out free. Benjamin's over here. We're fixing to go up to the house and eat. Man, we've got this going on. And he brought him out, Simeon. And the man brought the man into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. So in other words, he's really giving them royal treatment. He's letting you clean up, look good, take care of all your animals. Everything's going to be good to go as soon as it happens. And they made ready to present the present against Joseph, came in at noon, for they had heard that they should be eat bread there. And we're not talking about loaves of bread here. We're talking about they're going to have the ribeyes and the lamb chops and all those things. Bread here not necessarily meaning wheat or corn, but bread. And so they were fixing to eat bread at Joseph's house. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present. They didn't waste no time. As soon as he makes himself visible to them, they said, "Now's the time we present the almonds and the nuts and the honey and all those spices and the myrrh and stuff like that. Let's make sure before he has time to get angry, we butter him up and get him right. Bring out the present." that was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves, to the earth. The dream is now totally, without a doubt, fulfilled. They bowed themselves when they come the first time. This time they bowed themselves again, and this time most likely in the form of their voices coming in from Jacob being back at the house. They brought their message from Jacob to him, and when they bowed in symbolic, Jacob also bowed. Sun and moon and all the stars. So when they bowed this time, with the Jacob being the sender, they bowed in his name. So now Israel has bowed to Joseph. Sun, moon, star, the whole dream finally has come to finish. And they presented the gift in the presence, in the hand, into the house, and they bowed themselves to the earth, and he asked them of their welfare. And he says, how y'all doing, guys? You okay? Everything's all right? You washed your feet good? Feel good? Everything's okay? He says, he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? In other words, they've been gone long enough. He could have died. He could have passed on. He's pretty good age right now. So they says, how you been doing? And oh, by the way, how's Jacob? How's he been doing? How's he holding up? It's been a while since you've been in here. He says, how's your father doing? Is he yet alive? And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. In other words, they bowed again. And they did obeisance to him. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, his Rachel being Benjamin's mother and Joseph's mother, Jacob being their father. These two were the only children of Rachel. He saw Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother? He kind of knew already, but he wanted to see what was going to be said. Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. In other words, he blessed him. He says, this is the one, yeah. Bless this young man. Bless this feller. Bless him. Take care of him. Be gracious unto him. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn unto his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. In other words, he got overwhelmed with, boy, there's my only brother, my exact flesh and blood brother. These other guys are brothers, but not like him. And it's been 22 years since I've seen him. Maybe longer, because he's seen the other brother since then, because they the one that sold him out. It says it's been 22 years since he's seen him, and he cried. And he wept because he loved him so much. And he had to run out of the room so nobody would see what was going on, so they could get his composure back and he could wash his face off and contain himself. And he says, and he washed his face. And he went out and he refrained himself and said, set on bread. So now the food's coming. Set on the bread. And they set on for him by himself. He sat at one table, the ruler, and for them that themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves. In other words, we got this big old feast going on. Joseph's over here at a table. The sons were over here at a table, and all of his servants were over there at a table, because he was high enough if you just don't eat with him. These are over here because the Egyptians say they don't eat with the Hebrews because they're shepherds and stuff like that, or else they do things different with their food. And these are over here because they're not quite like Joseph, but they're not like them either. So they're over here, servants of Egyptians, full-blood Egyptians, doing what full-blood Egyptians do. So we got three big old tables full of food going on. Which did eat with him and themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. Now, when we say bread, one commentator said that the Egyptians didn't eat oxes and sheep and stuff like that because they made gods out of them. I think it's more like they just had cultural issues or different styles of eating. So it wasn't just that they didn't eat with the Hebrews. The Egyptians didn't really eat with any other type of nationality because they had their own table manners and their own ways of doing things and their own prayers or whatever. So the Hebrews sat in one place. And of course, some people think because they were shepherds, but there had to be shepherds and herdmen in Egypt somewhere because they had sheep and everything in Egypt too. But the thing is, because they said these were shepherds, they didn't want to socialize. Well, we know them shepherds get a bad rap, right? They didn't eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination. Well, if you've got one god at the table with another god at the table, somebody's wrong. So their god supposedly is the god of all gods. Well, they think all their little gods are gods. There ain't no get together there. No fellowship there. Naturally, we're an abomination to folks who think that they're all right. They think we're Looney Tunes. But we know where we're at. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, they thought they were an abomination to Egypt, and they sat before him, the firstborn according to, now you think, how did he know the firstborn from the secondborn, from the thirdborn, from the which one? But he had them all sitting at the table from the oldest all the way down to the youngest. He didn't miss a lick. He said, I want this one sitting here, this one sitting here, this one sitting here. They didn't just go sit themselves. He sat them. And he placed them. And you're sitting there. They'd already been sitting. Now, how does he know the order of us? He could have quizzed, I guess, but in their mind, they're probably saying, now, how did he know that? How did he figure who the oldest was? Now, he can't get the youngest one. He can figure that one out. He's a little bit younger looking. But the rest of us, we're all about the same age within a couple of years or so. He says, and he set them firstborn according to their birthright, and the youngest according to his birthright, and the men marveled one with another and said, how in the world did he know that? He didn't ask us. He didn't say, y'all go ahead and fix yourselves up, sit down. He said, I want you here, and I want you here, and I want you here, and I want you here. And they said, wow, did you see that? He knew exactly what order to put us in. How did he figure that out? Because we know he said he divined a while back, in about four or five chapters back. He goes, you know I can divine and know things? Yeah, really. Anyways, we're getting down to it now. We're getting down to it. And he took, and this was really a test. You really got to think about that. This is a test to see if they've come around. He took and set measures unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. They're sitting there, one scoop, one scoop, one scoop, and when he gets down to the Benjamin, one, two, three, four, five. Now, if they're still envious of Rachel's children, they're looking over there and saying, huh? They just gave that old boy five scoops. Who in the world does he think he is? Is he special or something? But if they'd have done that, they said, Joseph would have said, they haven't repented at all. They're still just like they used to be. And Benjamin's mess was five times so much as theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. In other words, they didn't let the food and the gifts that went to Benjamin twist him up. They didn't sit there and say, huh? They didn't sit there and say, that ain't right, man. We're going to get him on the way home. See, if they'd have sort of fit, Joseph would have said, I got to take Benjamin and protect him and move him on over here. We're going to get rid of these old boys. But because they ate and they drank and they were merry, he understood that they had repented of that attitude of anything that belongs to Rachel or Rachel's family ain't part of us. We're the outcast bunch here. We're the ones that should have been the end, but they were. Because Rachel was truly his wife. They were just the afterthoughts. And it says, and they drank and were merry with him. And I'm thinking that him there means with Benjamin. Because they were all at the same table. Now Joseph's sitting there watching this. He said, if they can get along, if they cannot kill each other after I give Benjamin five times more than I give them, we might have something going on here. We might be able to get this thing going. And they all ate and drank and were merry with each other. They were glad to be eaten. First of all, they went in there thinking they was going to get strung up. And now they're all sitting at the table, eating and drinking and being merry. And next week we're going to go back to get Joseph. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to get Joseph, and he's going to really say, huh? That's next week. Brother Lucian, would you dismiss us, please?